The DL Debate, brought to you by the Dry Arch Complex and 24-hour service station Letterkenny. We're here for all your needs.
Check this. Welcome one and all to another episode of the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in now on Highland Radio or back via podcast. Well, it's a great weekend for Donegal teams. Three victories. Our senior hurlers, our under-20s and our senior footballers all coming through in championship. Our senior hurlers beating Leitrim and Carrigan Shannon 127-410. Jerry Gilmore having a stormer down there, and that's setting up a Nicky Rackard semi-final with Tyrone in 2 weeks' time. Well done to Mickey McCann and his charges as they defend their title. Our under-20s were playing on Friday evening in Heady Park against Tyrone, and what was billed as a 50-50 game with Tyrone. And our man on the mic, of course, was Oisin Kelly. He joins me now. He was viewing the action. Oisin, what did you make of it?
Yeah, hi, Brendan. That's a really, really good win for Donegal, Brendan, because you have to remember Donegal, that age group coming up through the ranks, never had a championship one against Tyrone. All the time as they moved along the age groups, Tyrone seemed to be the team that always had the victory and had the better off them come championship, but it wasn't the case on Friday night at Healy Park in Omagh. If Tyrone had won the match, it would have been a steal, to be honest, Brendan. They got that goal and they were sort of handed the goal. They were 7 points down. And really, it was Donegal's errors that let them back into the game. Now, Tyrone in the closing period kicked three back-to-back scorable wides, which could have levelled up the game or even put them in front by a point. But then Donegal then got the insurance towards the end by big Nathan Byrne. But Donegal, I think, over the entire game, deserved the one, Brendan, and deservedly to go through. But if Tyrone had taken victory, had got back in level terms, you would have seen it as a bit of a steal. But listen, Tyrone bowed out.
A huge save from Dahi Roberts at a vital time in the closing stages.
Crucial game as well. That was a huge save by Dahi Roberts. He had a couple in the game, but that was another one of those moments that you thought, right, Donegal's going to keep Tyrone out here. You know, Brendan, it's a difficult place to go. It's not easy going to Healy Park, into the Lion's Den, into the backyard of Tyrone. And you don't, underage teams don't get too many wins at Healy Park. But it happened at the weekend for them. And now they're going into Gona Monaghan's side, who, if you flick back a couple of years, were the minor champions from 2018 as well, Brendan. So they have developed along at the age group too. So it's another big game for them this weekend.
Yeah, fantastic stuff, and well done to all involved. Gary Duffy, of course, taking the team this year. Eamon McGee and Leo McLoone, good men in the background with him. They wish him the best. That's Friday night in Enniskillen, Oisin, against Monaghan.
Yeah, 8 o'clock starts again. It's a double weekend.
You'll be there. You'll be there. You're a busy man.
It's good to be busy.
You got it. You better rest the voice there, just so you're a good form all week, gosh. So I'll let you go there. We're going to come across to a man that knows all about the under-20s and, of course, knows all about big games in Ballybuffet Championship. I remember him hitting 10 points against Donegal in a championship game, and which was one of the best championship performances I've ever seen. It is, of course, Derry sharpshooter Paddy Bradley. Paddy, how are you this evening?
Not too bad, Brent. And thanks.
Good man. Paddy, just, of course, touching on the under-20s. Sorry, come ahead, Paddy. What was that?
No, I'm actually getting geared up to head down to Donegal for a few days. So.
you're always welcome. I know you've done bits and pieces of coaching now, mate. Kevin Cass in Eudora and that. Listen, I know you'd be down here, but don't let Johnny McCaff lead you astray. That's all I would tell you.
Well, Johnny will keep me straight, don't worry.
Paddy, listen, just come back to that before we get on to the Donegal Derry game, which is still hard to digest. Paddy, you're involved in under-20s, you're the manager this year. You obviously, yourselves and Monaghan had a minor final at the same grade a few years back, so it was a 50-50 game at the weekend.
Look, Britton, we probably were a wee bit short. I thought we played really, really well in the first half. We had the breeze. There's always a breeze in Celtic Park, as you know, blowing down into the change room end. And we probably should have been getting 5-6 points up, but we butchered a few chances and we gave away two really, really bad goals, which kept Monaghan in the game in the first half. And then you're always playing catch up in the second half, and Monaghan were, you know, setting up quite defensively and hitting us in the break. And to be honest, they were full value for the one. But like, I was keeping an eye on that Tyrone and Donegal game, and yeah, it was going to be 50-50. And Donegal have very much a good opportunity against Monaghan because they are missing a few players. The likes of Sean Jones there, Aaron Mulligan, who's playing with the seniors, can't play. So, you know, that there's going to go down to the wire, that one.
Just a rule on that, Paddy. What is the story on players playing senior? Do they have to pick, or does the management call that?
No, there's a rule, Breton, that if you're still involved in the senior championship, you can't play for your under 20 team, which is a bit of a joke, to be honest, you know.
Yeah.
We obviously lost Ethan, you know, who was playing with the seniors yesterday. It was a big blow to us, but as I say, it's the same for every county. So, you know, what do you do? I know there's a lot of the hurling clubs were complaining about it, or hurling counties were complaining about it. But that's their own place at the minute.
Yeah. Listen, that's tough. I know from being up in Healy Park on Saturday night, there was two under 20s for Cavan. Involved, there's a couple of lads involved there as well. So listen, yeah, you're right, Paddy, particularly with everything that you have to deal with in terms of preparation and time and all that, it's such a lottery going into the championship then, because it's not like the seniors. At least the seniors have been around a few years, might have the same management, you know, it's the same type of an ideal, whereas you're just basically given a bunch of players. You basically have weeks and then you're supposed to put some kind of stamp and form into them. It's nearly impossible. It's just a complete lottery.
Well, look, I don't want to make excuses for the loss the other night, but we were sort of squeezed in the middle because you always have Ethan with the seniors, and then from the other end, you have the minors who are obviously doing really, really well until the All-Ireland minor final. But probably maybe 7, 8 of them boys would be my panel, probably 3 or 4 of them starting. We were minus them boys too. I had a situation the other night whereby, you know, had one lad playing with, he had food poisoning all week and he wasn't really fully fit to give 100%, and another lad playing with carrying a hamstring. I had two boys in the sub bench who had hamstring injuries, and the physio told me don't even consider using them. So that's what it is. Each day you're given a bunch of players, you're trying to put your mark on them, but you know they're playing club football and everything else at this stage of the year, and you can't really get, you know, all the coaching and preparation and things that you want, you know. But I say, I don't want to make excuses about it because they're a really talented bunch of players, and they did push them up the whole way, and we knew Monaghan were going to be, you know, big favourites in the game because they'd won minors 2 years ago, and we did give a good account of ourselves. We just come up a wee bit short.
Yeah, listen, Paddy, I know that you would never make excuses. I'm just kind of overseeing the whole kind of difficulties it is around kind of normal preparation, and you look at what's going on the underage teams in the past, and you know, you talk about leagues and training camps and all this time build up and looking at squads, you know, all that's going out the window. So listen, I know what you're saying, Paddy, it just didn't make it difficult. But listen, turn your attention to that game yesterday. I'm saying, I seen your mum and dad, they were right close to where I was at the game. There was good Derry support there, which I like to see. They were very vocal. Funny thing from Healy Park too, it seemed to be mostly Cavan fans. I'm not sure how that all comes about. But Paddy, what did you make of yesterday? Because I mean, you have to, as a Derry man, you know, been mightily impressed, and from where Derry have come, you know, to come to Balbuffet against a Donegal team that has been the best in Ulster this last number of years, to come on and really put on a performance that should have seen them qualifying in the semi final.
I thought they were the better team in Britain. Yeah, you're right. Really, really impressive stuff. I got 2 or 3 phone calls last week, you know, in the lead up to the game, asking me my opinions, and I thought they would be a wee bit short, you know. I thought Donegal, given that Donegal had been playing Division 1 football and Donegal have a panel with strength and depth, I thought Derry maybe just hadn't got that. Maybe 3, 4, 5 boys to bring on that Donegal usually do. And I thought they'd come up short, but really impressed by how they played yesterday. I thought defensively there was nobody you would say was roasted or nobody was under any, you know, pressure. I thought they were really, really comfortable. 3 or 4 goal chances probably missed, and if they had to pick any one of them, they probably would have won the game, you know, and that, you know, that over the balance of the game, that probably was the deciding factor, the fact that they had them chances and didn't take them. But no, definitely making great progress on their way, and they have to be commended for yesterday's performance.
And Paddy, tell me this, just in the league there, we're here, and obviously Derry were racking up big scores. I seen a stat there, you know, they were averaged 12 to 14 points in games. And they were playing like, ever seen what's happened to Rory Geller as a different footballer? Was it almost like the way they changed tactics and went full blanket defence? Was there any sign of that coming? I mean, I thought they would definitely come and play a bit defensive, but they went full 15. They went full rigid, Paddy, which we all know is very difficult to play against if your players committed to willing to do that.
But I don't think anybody in Britain's setting up any different than anybody else. You know what I mean? There's stages of the game you have to do that, you know? Very, very, very dissonant in defence yesterday, I thought. Like, whenever you see, you know, well, obviously Michael come on, but Paddy, as quiet as he was, you know, I thought Chris McKay had a really, really good game on him. Obviously, he kicked the one and scored, but it was the only time really he got that, you know, yard away from him. But, you know, I thought Derry put me into the pack well as well, also. And, you know, that was probably, as I say, the losing of the game was the fact that they didn't take the chances to create it, because I thought for the balance of the game, Derry definitely did create more than Donegal.
See, just tactically here, Paddy, now I'm sitting watching this, right? I'm watching a lot of football. Derry's defensive, and you're right, there was serious discipline, but what it was full 15 inside the 45, right, and come ahead and try and break us down. You're right. I mean, Rodgers, McKeague, you know, Cassie had a brilliant game, Kinless, they all stuck to their task, right? But they put the full 15 inside the 45. The difference with Donegal was Donegal were tackling Derry all over the place. And as they dropped back, but they didn't drop inside the 45. They were engaging Derry in halfway line on the 60. And then if they came inside the 45, sometimes they would have big numbers back there. But by and large, sometimes they'd one up front, two up front. I've seen an occasion when Derry was attacking where there were the 6-7 Donegal players were the wrong side of the ball, which was never happening in the Derry side. So when Derry get in around the 45, how many times you see that hand pass inside? Derry players were one-on-one at the back, which is why there was so much opportunity. And it was as if they played the rigid defence. Donegal didn't. And I think that's where this game became Derry's to one, because Donegal, once they seen Derry doing that, needed to copy it, Paddy, because otherwise you were getting sucked into the counter-attack. Now, Derry did it very well, but Donegal didn't match it. That was the difference for the tactics for me on the day.
And, you know, usually we associate ourselves with Donegal maybe doing that, you know. I thought Donegal at stages yesterday were quite open. They were quite vulnerable. Like one of the things, you know, even from my own experiences in down to Ballybuffet, was 2011. So Donegal played a pile of men inside their own 45 and hit us in the break, and we couldn't cope with it. You know, it was sort of like a new style of play against them. And, you know, I thought yesterday just Donegal were leaving themselves very, very susceptible to goal chances and to runners in behind. And that's one thing Derry have is a plenty of pace, and they're playing out the likes of Gareth McInnes, Ethan Doherty, boys that are running from deep, you know. But Derry, you know, I say, very, very distant. There was many stages you can see McGuigan back in his own 13-yard line, you know, putting in tackles, putting in hits, you know. So Rory had them set up that way, and I'd say they're all disciplined enough to play it. And I'd say it probably should have been good enough to get them the one yesterday, just they didn't take their chances whenever they got them.
Yeah, and Paddy, you know what, you notice, like, the three particular goal chances they had, they didn't get a point out of them, which you're looking at a point game. That's vital. Like, you look at McGuigan's, you know, the pull down for a potential penalty, and there's so many question marks in there for Derry. Like, you know, when they went to 4 points up in the second half, you were thinking, listen, this is going to take a serious effort. And there was such a tension there, Paddy, that no one was expecting. But, you know, the performances of McGuigan there, even that free that he had initially to equalise, Paddy, that was a pressure kick. A couple of scores by Kieran McFaul as well. You know, top drawer stuff. I mean, Paddy, these aren't, that isn't, you know, people keep talking about Division 4 and they were under 3 and now they're under 2. The play from Derry yesterday was right up there with a side that's not going to take a year or two to come back. Like, Derry, I think, are ready, you know, to really challenge again, to be back into the four. Obviously, Armagh have joined the Monaghan and Tyrone and Donegal this year. I think Derry are ready, certainly next season, to go on and be amongst that group.
Look, that was what we were wanting to find out yesterday. I suppose we believe in Derry that players that we have are capable of being at the top table, you know. We've seen them in Cup football week in, week out, performing really, really well. And I suppose they had to put in a championship performance, but to back it up. And yesterday was that day. You mentioned Kieran McFaul. I thought, for me, pound for pound, Kieran McFaul is as good a footballer as he is in the country. He loves that score where he's wheeling around off the side of a defence, you know, kicking one 35, 40 yards, you know. Shane McGuigan, as we know, was a top quality operator. Yesterday he really stood up and was counted, and when he maybe didn't do a pile from open play, you know, he was never going to get the opportunity because he was always going to be double teamed, but his free kicks were on point the whole, you know, every one of them. But the big thing in the game probably was, as you say, the goal chances. I thought the one that Benny Hearn hit the bar away was probably a really bad loss or bad miss at that stage. I think if that goal had been in, Eric won and won the game quite handsomely. But look, you've got to give Donegal credit too, because as you say, there were 3 or 4 points down in the second half. I thought Michael Langan stood up at that stage, kicked a couple of, you know, real, you know, scores from distance. And that's, look, that's what you expect from a Division 1 team. That's the reason why Donegal are playing Division 1 football and Derry aren't, because they have players of that ilk that are afraid to stand up whenever it's really, really counted. Derry just need to get there, and look, it's going to benefit them, obviously, up to Division 2 next year, playing against better sides.
Yeah, they are the way back. It's so hard to get your head around Donegal at the minute, because as you said there, Paddy, at times we look so open. We can match the brilliant with the very bad. It's if you look at Derry, they're very structured. Everything was very methodical around they did. They're defensively, you know, the likes of say McCaig and Rogers, very solid one-on-one inside. You know, we seem to be under pressure inside, you know, and there seem to be chances opening up at one end that there wasn't at the other. But then you're saying that never say die attitude seems to be in at Donegal, where I never felt actually yesterday, Paddy, at any stage that we couldn't come back, which I suppose, as you're saying, is a testament to Declan Bonner and everything he's done there in terms of putting that bit of belief back in you. But having seen Tyrone on Saturday evening, you know, they put on quite a polished performance. And when you're trying to sum up the game, Paddy, and I know what you were saying about looking at it, Donegal should age it by a few points and it didn't end up the cap, but the one game, the Cavan, people were most disappointed about last season, that they ended up getting relegation, was losing to Derry. They thought they should have beat Derry. So, you know, as you're going into the game thinking, right, if that Cavan team should have beat Derry, and we seen them yesterday, but Derry came, as I said, with a completely different purpose. But you know, looking at Tyrone, Paddy, did you see their highlights on there? Like they look like they found a bit of form again against Cavan.
Watched Tyrone the other day, yeah, I did watch it. I was really impressed with him. Obviously, Darren McCurry stole the show. What did he kick, 10 or 11 points in the end up? As you say, if the Donegal defence doesn't, you know, tighten up a wee bit and leave themselves susceptible, you know, as wide open as they are, Darren McCurry will obviously, you know, he'll give them plenty of bother. But look, you've got to think that obviously Declan and the team will watch the game back yesterday and see how open they were, and maybe, you know, obviously show that up a wee bit. I just thought a lot of the Donegal players yesterday just didn't perform maybe to the levels that, you know, they're capable of doing. Like, I thought Ryan was very, very quiet, you know. I'd say Paddy was well marshalled, but, you know, these boys are top quality performers. These boys don't have two good, bad games in a row, you know what I mean? These boys, you think, will step up the next day. I definitely think that game against Tyrone would be probably 50-50. Tyrone were very, very impressive, but I thought Cavan were really, really poor. Like, there was a stage in the game where, you know, Cavan were really putting it up to them, you know, and then Tyrone just kicked on, and Cavan had nothing really to offer. And I suppose they're coming off the back of a really, really poor league campaign. And, you know, I wouldn't read too much into Tyrone's victory. Still, for me, Donegal are still the best team in Ulster.
Good man, Paddy. We'll take a bit of heart from that, Paddy. That's just where you go. I was just looking at you. When you think about players that played well yesterday, listen, Sean Patton still did well for us, our goalkeeper, you know, Mr. Dependable. Some unbelievable kickouts that transferred us in the attack. Listen, Neil McGee was solid at the back. After that, you know, Keelan McGonigal, the brilliant game. I thought Langan and Niall O'Donnell. You know, after that, none of our players probably played anywhere near what they should. I mean, that's some drop-off for a team. You normally have 3 or 4 that maybe don't play well. We have played 3 or 4 that did. I was just looking at that going into the Tyrone game now, and we have this thing over Tyrone at the minute, Paddy, and you probably had it yourself. There's certain teams in Ulster that you don't seem to mind playing as much, you know. I think Donegal were coming up against an unknown bit of an animal in Derry yesterday, and I don't think we're ready for the game plan that Derry got. But whereas Tyrone and Donegal seem to have this thing where they can control the game against Tyrone. You know, they beat them twice last year, beat them in the league fairly straightforward at Healy Park that first game back. But you would have had that in your day, Matty. Certain sides, for whatever reason, you seem to get that bit better against on, no matter what stage they're supposed to be at in terms of league form or favourites.
Yeah, well, look, you mentioned that there only was maybe 4 or 5 boys performed to their potential yesterday, and Donegal still won the game. And as I say, players of the calibre of the boys we're chanting about, the likes of the Ryan McHughes, the likes of the Paddy McVerdis and that, don't have 2 bad games in a row. I'd fully expect them boys to step up. As you say, they have that wee bit of an Indian sign over Tyrone too, it obviously helps. You're probably right in the sense that I'm not saying Donegal took Derry lightly yesterday, but they probably did feel they always had enough in the tank to beat them, and maybe they took their eye off the ball a small bit. Like, Donegal probably are still hurting from losing last year's Ulster final, you know, and probably that's what they're, you know, Donegal's aspiring to be in Ulster finals, to be on in Ulster's, to be, you know, competing in All Ireland semi-finals, finals. And maybe they weren't ready for the game yesterday, but I definitely expect them boys to step up the next day.
Yeah, good man, Paddy. Well, listen, thanks for your input this evening, your views as ever. And to your listener, if you're down about Donegal this evening, give me a shout. We'll call out for a cappuccino or whatever.
You bought it, Britain.
Thanks, Paddy. Appreciate it. I'll see you soon.
Good man. Chat later. Good man.
And yeah, great to hear from Paddy Bradley there. What a footballer he was. And after the game yesterday, I caught up with Paul McGonigal on the pitch to get his views on that tense, tight finish against Derry. And here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I'm here after the match. I'm just trying to gather my breath after that epic Ulster Championship game with Paul McGonigal. Paul, how are you feeling after that game? That was right put to the pin of our collar. No one was expecting such a tight game. Now, I know in the background, Donegal will say they were, but most people are thinking Donegal would control the game. But, I mean, Derry came with a massive game plan and really asked us all types of questions.
Aye, absolutely. I think we weren't the least bit surprised about that. That was the focus for the last 2 weeks. There was even the chat this morning as well, Brennan. So it's nothing more than we expected. Probably from our own point of view, you know, we made a few errors in the first quarter. We were very nervous, a wee bit of tension there as well. And, you know, we'd probably never played our best football at all until maybe the last 10, 15 minutes. But we spoke about that as well. It's been something that has developed. I'm not saying we've worked on, but it's certainly developed over the course of this season. You know, eking out real good results in real close, tight games, no matter what the score is or what the clock says or what anything else says. So you have to give it to the boys. To a man, and especially the boys that come in off the bench, did a wonderful job just in staying composed and sticking with their own game plan and you know, ultimately getting those opportunities and, you know, what a time to take the lead.
Amazing the finish there, Paul. I can hear from your own voice, you were shouting out a lot of instructions there. Paul, Derry and Rory Geller, you know, we've seen it with Fermanagh, it's that rigid defence, but they didn't do that in the league. Is there some way now that we weren't expecting that type of defence? Because if you looked at us, for example, their game against Dublin, they mirrored us, they put the team back, we put our team back. Today we did chase the ball around the middle, which meant when Derry get in, there was extra gaps in their defence, whereas every time we get forward, they put the full 15 in behind, which gave them a huge platform. Well, were we expecting that type of defence from them today?
I think we were, yeah. It was something we've worked on quite a bit, you know, just that ability to break those down. And from our own point of view, you know, they were well set up, obviously, but we expected that. But from our own point of view, maybe we were disappointed, Brennan, with how we moved the ball or moved them around a wee bit and created opportunities. But I think if we look back, we probably did create a lot of reasonable, decent opportunities. But, you know, the opportunity really came in the last 10 minutes. We knew they just couldn't keep all that up all the time. And we got good pockets of space and we took good opportunities there for the last 10, 15 minutes. Like, we were four down at one stage and a hell of a lot to play to yeah. Go yet in the game. And in fairness to the boys, he just stuck with it and they eked it out. And, you know, it's tremendous character, really.
Yeah, I just looked at some players that stood up for us today, and particularly, I think, Keenan McGonigal at times. You know, even though Niall O'Donnell kicked a few wide, he kept his composure. Langan scores some fantastic scores. And then, as you said, come with there, McBertie, who was tightly marked all the game. I mean, what a way to win a match. We did survive those goal opportunities, Paul, but what a finish to the game.
Absolutely. And, I mean, you mentioned the two lads there that really probably kept us going by taking the game by the scruff of the neck, Niall and Keelan particularly in the second half there. And, you know, Paddy McBride's just a class footballer, you know, at the end of the day. And he wouldn't even move from the pocket when we asked him to, but he was waiting for that one chance. And what a strike, you know. It was an unbelievable score to win it. But look, we've got through. That was the key goal, key priority, was to get through the game, and we've done that. So we just get ready now and get the bodies right now for next week.
Yeah, and finally, Paul, just I was in Healy Park last night. You know, Tyrone, you know, found their groove after that first water break. They look good. They have a great bench as well. Going to ask a lot of questions, but in many ways, you know, we've seen Donegal today at the back, how we need to defend and protect our defence a bit more. So even though it's a quick turnaround, it's a week, you know, we've had a lot of questions asked of us today, which maybe is a good thing now leading into the Tyrone match.
Yeah, well, they conceded 15 scores today, Brennan. They probably had, you know, the one that came off the post in the first half, and QA made a great block on the line, and obviously the one that hit the bar in the second half there as well. But beyond that, I thought we defended fairly stoutly. It was probably more what we're doing with the ball that we need to work on more in terms of getting those finishes, the ball finishing dead on the other side of the field. I think we had a lot of turnovers inside there, final third of the field as well. But credit to Derry and their defending as well, like that caused an awful lot of that themselves. So look, now next week it's about freshening up again. Now we'll start the homework this evening again, so we will. But now looking forward at this stage, it's just great to get through the game, and that's what championship games are about, Brian.
And now, folks on the show, I'm delighted to say I'm joined by a man who knows everything about the Ulster Championship, a Tyrone man, and
it's not very often we take a throw man to your heart here in Donegal, but certainly with this man's input last year, you know, a lot of great feedback from him. Of course, he was managing Antrim this year, so we left him alone. He's just finished up with that cause, and it's great to have him back to hear his views. It is, of course, the one and only Enda McGinley.
Mr. Devaney, how are things?
I'm not too bad, my man. I'm not too bad. Listen, we shared a couple of games at the weekend there. Healy Park and, of course, at Bala Buffet. Just the one and only Paddy Bradley on previous to you there. We were shooting the breeze about Bala Buffet. I'd still like to get your views on that one as well. But first off, Enda, just a quick recap for you. I know you manage club at different levels there around the province, but your first move on the county management, what was it like, baptism of fire?
Yeah, I suppose it was a particularly strange year for it. The one blessing I suppose I had was because I never had experienced it in a normal year. The abnormalness, if I'm allowed to use such a word, I suppose it wasn't just as bad because you never had experienced anything different. But it certainly, the whole COVID thing meant that you were trying to rerun or reset your plans almost every few weeks as the various guidelines and as the various timelines for potential commencement of competitions constantly changed. And yet you were always trying to portray to the team a general sense that everything was in order and everything was going to. So that all was tough, trying to get to work with the squad in such a limited time frame. It was difficult trying to pick a squad, trying to pick a settled team, trying to get boys' time in the legs, trying to get some balance to the team, trying to get some type of a system in your head. All of that was very difficult while you were still trying to build relationships with players and a backroom team and everything else. So, yeah, it was a hectic few months, but thankfully we struck a wee bit of luck in the league, so at least we've made some sort of progress because obviously the championship ended up being disappointing.
And tell me, Stevie O'Neill was one you took in me. Were you and Stevie tight when you played together? You know, I just can imagine, you know, at the end of the end, you know, you're going down to Antrim, you trying to build Antrim up to be in a top level team, but having players like yourself and Stevie and that coming in to ask questions of people or direct people at training, you know, it's massive in terms of trying to pull Antrim up to that level again.
Aye, so absolutely. Me and Stevie would have been very close the whole way up through, you know, yourself from being around a county squad that. On any team bus and on any squad, there's the boys that be down around the back of the bus, and there's boys in the middle of the bus, and then there's boys, the quieter boys are at the front of the bus. Me and Stevie were always at the front of the bus together. and the cool boys like yourself, the likes of Mugsy or McGuigan and Hugs.
Troublemakers.
the cool boys are at the back of the bus. And the maybe more studious boys or quieter boys were at the front of the bus, keeping things more settled. So me and Stevie were always in company up at the front of the bus. And yeah, we've been very close for a long time, and our wives would be close and the children would be close, you know, one of them sort of relationships. So we always fancied, I suppose, working together. And whenever the opportunity came along with Antrim, I suppose that was our first chance to actually work directly along with each other.
And your family ties in there, Enda, did that kind of influence a bit as well? I suppose in many ways, you know, Antrim, listen, you want to go in there and make a fist of them, a bit like, I suppose, you know, we'll get back on the Rory Geller in a bit. You know, you've got something to work with and you know that they're better than where they're at.
Yeah, so the family ties meant that I knew quite a bit about Antrim football and I knew... I knew the panel was there, and I knew maybe some of the issues that the players felt had been there over previous years or needed addressed. So I suppose you were coming in with a wee bit of insight. Some people obviously seen it as a wee bit of a dangerous thing with family involvement, and certainly maybe that is the case. But I felt from the outset that I was happy enough I could manage it and be an independent voice and be my own man in there. So the family ties, I suppose, genuinely, without the family ties, I don't think I would have went on ahead and taken the post. I think there was a sense of loyalty or a sense of recognition that you wanted to do it and that you had a connection, a very real connection with the county, because like my own children had Antrim kits way before the drone kits. You know, they're pretty passionate about it on that side, and they'd still have way more Antrim stuff than Tyrone stuff. Like, they were turning up in all their Antrim gear and the players were thinking this was just because I'm managing Antrim, and it had nothing to do with it. They've had that since they've been 2 years old, if you know what I mean. So No, there has always been a strong Antrim thing in our house, and so I suppose it felt a reasonably natural fit for me to take on the challenge of trying to do something for them.
Yeah, and listen, you made a great fist that, you know, straight off the back and in the Antrim's backyard and competing with them all over the pitch. You know, it wasn't as if you sat in and feared them. You know, you played all sides of the game and played it really well. I thought it was a great assurity to the team. And listen, that all goes on in the training ground. And just looking across the, like Leitrim yesterday, you'd have played them in the league. You know, just looking at you, just being able to be in and be competitive against Armagh for so long in the game. Did you feel for Leitrim yesterday in terms of just that hockeying that they got? You know, must be so tough for Terry Hyland still in there. I know Terry well, like, he's a hardware store up in Ballyhays there. He's a pure football man, cabin man. But listen, where do you go from there?
Yeah, it was exceptionally difficult. I think it's difficult to see any team getting them beatings, and yet the last thing those teams need is people feeling sorry for them. I think it is just challenging down there to get the absolute buy-in and to maintain that sense of hope that you need to drive the amount of work that you need to try and compete at the top level. And very quickly that balance can be lost. And whenever you lose that real sense of that hope and that real sense that you can be competitive, the belief that you can be competitive, then things start to slip away very, very quickly, and the top sides are so dominant. Then it can be a very lonely place. But certainly against, like, I suppose in our promotion, I didn't feel that we had produced the performance that I was seeing that the boys were capable of producing on the training pitch. So that always felt good coming into the championship, that while we were being promoted and we were getting some credit for that there, I still felt there was a performance in the boys. And I think they played closer to their full potential against Armagh, which is always very pleasing, I suppose, from a management point of view. But I suppose the disappointing thing was that with, as I've maybe said before, the cruelty of the modern game, like four or five wee issues, defensive errors or wee mistakes here and there, and the net was rattled four times, and suddenly you're getting hammered. So in the cold light of day, there is still obviously significant ground that has to be made up. Being good 90% of the time against the top teams just isn't enough. And we've seen even Derry in the Donegal match, like, they were good for sort of significant periods of that match. And yet that bit of quality that McBrady had to take on that shot at the end, there's Derry out of the championship, having produced a massive, massive performance. So the game is particularly cruel at the minute. But as I say, I think our boys produced a performance that reflected well on them, and I think made people actually sit up and be quite surprised. So that's great. But there's no point patting ourselves in the back. We still get beat by 13 points. So there's still plenty of work to do.
Plenty of work to do. No better man to get at it. And I just turned to your own men in Tyrone. Come in this game on a bit of a cloud, obviously, after the hammer we carry. No one too sure what to expect. Obviously, the worry of Cavan in terms of their Ulster being Ulster Championship holders. What did you make of the performance then coming into this game with all this the background noise that was happening, which seems to be happening with Tyrone a lot these years, Enda?
Yeah, there's always plenty of noise about Tyrone. We're second only maybe to Mayo in the amount of drama and column inches that Tyrone generates. So coming into this game, absolutely, Tyrone were in a difficult place. The caveat I would put to that is that, like, from a man like yourself, you're well aware of the grapevine and how much various teams were training during the banned period. And yes, we're not supposed to acknowledge that at all, but everybody knows that teams were doing various things and bending various rules in some places. And I think the various performance levels during the National League sort of could be attributed to a degree to that. I know for a fact that Tyrone stuck rigidly to the guidelines. That was the approach Brian and Fergal took. And I think their rustiness in the early stages of the National League and the fact that they looked a wee bit off the pace can be attributed to that. They've got four great weeks done. And you know yourself, if you get a bad beating like they did down in Kerry, it strips away all the airs and graces. It strips away all the notions. And it means when you go back out onto the pitch, there's a very humble, hard-working, we're in this together, let's dig ourselves out of it approach. And if you can circle the wagons like that around that, it's actually can be a very healthy place for a team to be. And I think Tyrone needed to go to that place. And they've obviously got three, four good weeks under their belt of work. And they started off against Cavan. They were still a bit shaky. And like the spine of the team, we always talk about the importance of nailing down the spine of the team. And for a new management, that's difficult to do. Ronan McNamee at full back and Niall Morgan in goals was really the only consistent spine of the team. Your centre half back, your midfield pairing, your centre half forward and full forward were changing on a regular basis, or they lost players with injuries. So that's a really difficult place to be. And I think the unsteadiness, like Tyrone still looked nervy at the start of the game. Cavan certainly gave them the fill of it for about 20 minutes or so. But as Tyrone settled into the game, I thought as the game wore on, they looked more physically dominant. They looked more assured. I was really, really impressed with Michael O'Neill at centre-half back, really impressed with Colin Kilpatrick, and especially when he was joined by Kennedy in midfield. That really looked like something of something of significant potential for them boys to maybe get a wee bit more game time. And even up front, Darren McCurry hit great form, which we know he's able to have done before, but I suppose the greatest positive up front was the return of Cathal McShane. So for Tyrone, as the match went on, for me, it became more and more a positive day out.
Yeah, certainly. And then those players you mentioned, the bench as well, you know, it was a very assured performance, you know, completely different from Donegal the next day, and we'll get on to that in a minute. Just a couple of words on the likes of McKenna and Canavan. You know, when I was looking at Doher and Logan taking this team, I just looked at the squad. And we've talked about this before. Like, to me, Tyrone have the best squad in Ulster, but it's a matter of that 15 being the best in the pitch. And for some reason, the last few years, Donegal have been able to come up with the goods to get the better of Tyrone. They have this wee thing over them now. And that's why I'm trying to read into the two games at the weekend. Obviously, Tyrone now become in better form. If you were Logan and Doer watching that, you'd say there's some holes to be punched in Donegal. But yet, will Tyrone play like Derry play, or will they get sucked into what we've seen in the two games last year and what we've seen this year in Healy Park, and that Donegal kind of controlled the game in many sectors? I think that's the thing for Tyrone. This team is, as you're saying, there's some new talent and new management. They have to kind of put their stamp on a game, and this is the game to do it from a Tyrone perspective.
I don't think it's either of us trying to be cute about this. I think we're both genuine in our belief. I know you've admired the Tyrone panel, and I likewise have admired the Donegal panel. and looking at the Donegal,
I'll go for Tyrone. You go for Donegal.
Particularly the forward unit of Donegal, I think it carries more threat overall than Tyrone now. If Tyrone are heading out with their full potential, forward line, the likes of Darren McCurry, the likes of Conor McKenna, Dara Canavan, Niall Sludden, if he starts coming back into the form, Paul Donahue, Callum McShane, like if you're getting that full forward line on, but we've never seen that, and certainly never seen them all in form and playing as a unit together up there. Whereas Donegal, for me, Michael Langan, Kieran Thompson, Niall O'Donnell really came of age. I've been waiting on that type of performance from Niall O'Donnell for a while. And then McBrady inside, you've Jamie Brennan, Michael Murphy, of Oisin Gallen, who's done well in previous years. Like, with that forward unit of Donegal is massive for me. Their midfield power was a really, and I think that is of massive importance in the modern game, is that ability to dominate early in the middle third, because it has a huge impact on the kick-out plans that you can work both offensively from your own kickouts and trying to do a job on the opposition kickouts. Having that band of big men across the middle is massive. Now, that's exciting for me from a drone point of view, because I think in Colin Kilpatrick and Kennedy, suddenly we look as if we've big men in there, but we were going out with the likes of Kieran McGeary, Connor Myler, both wing halves, Rory Brennan, Peter Hart, wing half backs. None of them particularly early dominant, and it was leaving us a wee bit vulnerable in that, and teams like Donegal really can target that. And the kick-out is a key source of possession for me. So that, along with their inside line, I can understand why Donegal do cause their own problems. They're a team on paper I think are excellent. I think the biggest thing for Donegal, and we've seen it yesterday in Derry, and you've mentioned in the past, is because the defenders for so long have had such a strong defensive structure around them, that maybe man against man or in bigger spaces, it's more difficult. Now, it's just more difficult for any defender if there's more space around them. But we're starting to see, like, Derry did pick a lot of holes in that Donegal defence, probably, what, 3 goal chances at the very least yesterday. So that will be a concern, and that will be an opportunity for Tyrone. to go at Donegal, maybe in a way that they haven't had to go at that defence in previous years.
Did you think, though, that just if you were managing Tyrone now, look at what Derry did. They went full court blanket, right? And people are talking, like I heard the Sunday game last night, that both teams played similar. They 100% didn't. Derry put full 15 inside the 45. Yeah. Donegal then engaged Derry at different places, and particularly around about the halfway, Donegal, say, 60-yard line. And then sometimes they would end up, say, the 45. But what happened was, quite often it was 5, 6, 7 Donegal players on the wrong side of the ball, if you like. I hate even saying that, Enda, but in modern football, that's the way it is. So then Derry were able to give this hand pass direct inside to a one-on-one man. And then we were under pressure. And I just think that if you were the two managers, and I know Collie Holmes is in there, and there's a few other lads in as well, isn't there? Joe McMahon. I seen him kicking about after the game. Yeah, big Joey's in there too. Would you think, Enda, and if you were managing Tyrone now, because Donegal's strength is in their attack, would other managers look at that, even though Tyrone mightn't want to, like, say they're copying anything, if they went full blanket against Donegal and just said, right, we're going to suck you in because your strength is in the attack, and then we're going to try and break in and literally do what Derry did, that would be a very, very dangerous weapon for Donegal to come up against.
It would, and certainly for the Tyrone management were sitting just over beside me yesterday. There was Bergen and Brian, Collie Holmes, and Mickey Moyna, the erstwhile tip man, stroke manager, I think, at this stage. And they were watching the game together. And absolutely, Donegal struggled to break down a very defensive setup by Derry. And that is the temptation to then copy that to an extent. And obviously, that is a game style that Tyrone know well and probably could play it every bit as well, if not even better than Derry yesterday, because they're so used to it and they've got men up front. And again, that was a change in style from Derry yesterday. Derry hadn't really played like that too much during the National League. And it would be a style, ironically enough, obviously, that Donegal really sort of brought in and mastered for their Ireland title. So Tyrone tempted to do that, yes. But I don't think they'll go as defensive as Derry. I think it'll end up at times like that. But for me, the classic difference between a team that is playing a very defensive system and a team that just, as happens in the modern game, ends up with everybody behind the ball is that reaction to the turnover ball. If you lose the ball, you lose a short kick out. You see 2-3 men just running back to the ball, not looking at all where free men, not looking at all where they play developed. They are running straight back into defence. Derry were doing that yesterday, and certainly Tyrone has done in the past. And I think that is one form of that very out-and-out defensive setup. And that's the Mickey Hart, Oisin McConnell conversation is getting lots of airwaves at the minute. And that's what sort of confused me. I don't think you can call it anything other than a defensive setup. Like that's what it is. They are prioritizing having a strong defensive coverage. Whether you take that as a positive or a negative, that's your own tilt on it. But it is a defensive setup, and that's how Derry played. And it was effective against Donegal. I think Tyrone will think of doing that. I think you have to keep McGrady quiet. Is McGrady going to have two such quiet games back-to-back? It's hard to know. Can Niall O'Donnell back up that level of performance that he gave, and Langan that performance that he gave? Tyrone will certainly be hoping not. But I think they will know that getting numbers back into that defence, because it also sort of negates the brilliant work of Ryan McHugh as well, because he loves operating in them wee spaces and taking runs off shoulders and cutting into the wee spaces in behind. If that's just full of men, them runs just aren't on, and he had a quiet game yesterday by his own standards.
Certainly. And listen, those players you mentioned, along with Patton in goal, were probably, you know, most games you look at and then you know from being a manager, you might have three or four players play a bit under the bar. That was one of those games we had three or four that played well. That, you know, the other 10, 11 were under their normal input level. So listen, let me call Declan Bonner, for we were quoted before the game, he says, I'll be happy enough to get away with 1 point victory. And it sounded like one of those cliche manager lines, because we thought, now it'll be 4 or 5, maybe 6 points. And listen, that's how it turned out. But and listen, brilliant, fascinating. I'm looking forward to next week. McCann, McShane, Kennedy, all the start, would you imagine, in this clash with Donegal?
So McSheehan, yeah, I would fancy him to start all right. McKenna, I think they might think about bringing him in from the bench in terms of Derek Hanna, but I'm not sure where he is in terms of his rehab at the minute. He's probably close enough. I'd imagine McKenna is more likely to maybe feature at some stage, but I don't think they'll go from the start again, thinking that they'll want to keep a fairly defensive structure. The likes of Myler will still be there. The likes of Kieran McGeary will still be there. Richard Donnelly, there's a question mark over him. He seemed to be limping quite badly after yesterday. Niall Sludden, I think, will start again, and he'll come out probably and play that traditional centre half. Paul Donaghy, it'll be interesting. Again, I think he'll get the nod, but certainly Cal McShane and Darren McCurry will be the focal point. And for me, that's the worry. I don't see massive scores coming from elsewhere. And for Donegal, they can really target those two men if McShane does start, which I think he has to start. Otherwise, all the attention can go on McCurry. So I think starting at least two men to give Donegal problems. But again, that's where Tyrone, looking at that Donegal defence, they have more men to cover. The one thing I would say, I thought Tyrone's defensive display against Cavan was superb. And again, that was without the blanket defence in place. I thought Rowan McNamee, Patrick Hampshire were massive. McKernan had a good game, particularly on the front foot. Rory Brennan was excellent again. Riley really snuffed him out. Michael O'Neill had said before, really, really strong. And Petey Hart just relishing in a more maybe a confined role than he's played in the past, but just been really dominant as a wing half back, which is what I think is his best role. So Tyrone's defensive thing will probably be the area that they took greatest confidence from, but they're in for a very stern test again, that Donegal forward line, of whom many will be looking to improve their performance from the Derry game.
Yeah. Listen, then, the intriguing stuff, sir. So all roads lead to Brewster Park on Sunday as we take on this challenge again. And listen, hard to say, it's impossible to say after last week's games how it'll play out. I'm sure it'll go down the wire again. And surely, listen, between me and you, may the best team win, and I'll see you up there, sir.
Sure, we'll even take the penalties.
We'll get the excitement going again. Good man.
Well, it's all the rage at the minute.
Very good. All right. In the beginning, thanks for joining us this evening on the Day on the Bait. All right, sir.
Chat soon.
Right, folks, that's a wrap. Thanks again for listening to the DL Debate. I want to thank my guests, Enda McGinley and Paddy Bradley. I want to thank Paul McGonigal for his interview after that amazing game yesterday in McCool Park. I want to thank Kenneth for producing, Head of Sport, Oisin Kelly. I'll speak to you all next week as we review two huge championship games, our under-20s against Monaghan and our senior men against Tyrone. I'll speak to you then.
The DL Debate, brought to you by the Dry Arch Complex and 24-hour service station Letterkenny. We're here for all your needs.